the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were to take place in 2 days' time. So the chief priests and the scribes were seeking a way to arrest him by treachery and put him to death. They said,
"After the festival, for fear that there may be a riot among the people."
When he was in Bethany, reclining at table in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of perfumed oil, costly, genuine spikenard. She broke the alabaster jar and poured it on his head. There were some who were indignant.
"Why has there been this waste of perfumed oil? It could have been sold for more than 300 days' wages, and the money given to the poor."
They were infuriated at her.
"Let her alone. Why do you make trouble for her? She has done a good thing for me. The poor you will always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anticipated anointing my body for burial. Amen, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed to the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went off to the chief priests to hand him over to them. When they heard him, they were pleased and promised to pay him money. Then he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him,
"Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
He sent two of his disciples and said to them,
"Go into the city, and a man will meet you, carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there."
The disciples went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they reclined at table and were eating, Jesus said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
They began to be distressed and to say to him one by one,
"Surely it is not I."
And he said to them,
"One of the 12, the one who dips with me into the dish, for the Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. If it would be better for that man if he had never been born."
While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, and said,
"Take it, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them,
"This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus said to them,
"All of you will have your faith shaken, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be dispersed.' But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Even though all should have their faith shaken, mine will not be."
Then Jesus said to him,
"Amen, I say to you, this very night before the cock crows, twice you will deny me 3 times.
But he vehemently replied,
"Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you."
And they all spoke similarly. Then they came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be troubled and distressed. Then he said to them,
"My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch."
He advanced a little and fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. He said,
Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but what you will.
When he returned, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Withdrawing again, he prayed, saying the same thing. Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open and did not know what to answer him. He returned a third time and said to them,
Are you still sleeping? Taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up. Let us go. See, my betrayal is at hand.
Then, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. His betrayer had arranged a signal with them, saying,
The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him and lead him away securely.
He came and immediately went over to him and said,
Rabbi.
And he kissed him. At this, they laid hands on him and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew his sword, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them in reply,
Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day I was with you teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled.
And they all left him and fled. Now a young man followed him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth about his body. They seized him, but he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and all of the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. Peter followed him at a distance into the high priest's courtyard and was seated with the guards, warming himself at the fire. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none. Many gave false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. Some took the stand and testified falsely against him, alleging,
We heard him say, I will destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.
Even so, their testimony did not agree. The high priest rose before the assembly and questioned Jesus, saying,
Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?
But he was silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said to him,
Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?
Then Jesus answered,
I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven.
At that, the high priest tore his garments and said,
What further need have we of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?
They all condemned him as deserving to die. Some began to spit on him. They blindfolded him and struck him and said to him,
Prophesy.
And the guards greeted him with blows. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the high priest's maids came along. Seeing Peter warming himself, she looked intently at him and said,
You too were with Jesus.
But he denied it, saying,
I neither know nor understand what you are talking about.
So he went out into the outer court. Then the cock crowed. The maid saw him and began again to say to the bystanders,
This man is one of them.
Once again he denied it. A little later, the bystanders said to Peter once more,
Surely you are one of them, for you too are a Galilean.
And he began to curse and to swear,
I do not know this man about whom you are talking.
And immediately a cock crowed a second time. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." He broke down and wept. As soon as morning came, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes, that is, the whole Sanhedrin, held a council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
He said to him in reply,
"You say so."
The chief priests accused him of many things. Again, Pilate questioned him,
"Have you no answer? See how many things they accuse you of?"
Jesus gave him no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, he used to release to them one prisoner whom they requested. A man called Barabbas was then in prison along with the rebels who had committed murder in a rebellion. The crowd came forward and began to ask him to do for them as he was accustomed. Pilate answered,
"Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?"
For he knew that it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. And Pilate said to them in reply,
"Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?"
They shouted again,
"Crucify him."
And Pilate said to them,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
They only shouted the louder,
"Crucify him."
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and after he had Jesus scourged, handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the praetorium, and assembled the whole cohort. They clothed him in purple, and weaving a crown of thorns, placed it on him. They began to salute him with,
"Hail, King of the Jews,"
and kept striking his head with a reed and spitting upon him. They knelt before him in homage, and when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him out to crucify him. They pressed into service a passerby, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. They brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. They gave him wine drugged with myrrh, but he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his garments by casting lots for them to see what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." With him they crucified two revolutionaries, one on his right and one on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying,
"Ah, you who destroyed the temple and rebuilt it in 3 days, save yourself from coming down from the cross."
Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes mocked him among themselves and said,
"You save others, you cannot save yourself. Let the Christ, King of Israel, come down from the cross, that we may see and believe."
Those who were crucified with him also kept abusing him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,"
which is translated,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
"Look, he is calling Elijah."
One of them ran, soaked a sponge with wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, let us see if Elijah comes down to take him."
Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. The veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood facing him saw how he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was the Son of God."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of the younger James and of Joseph and Salome. These women had followed him when he was in Galilee and ministered to him. There were also many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When it was already evening, since it was the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a distinguished member of the council, who was himself awaiting the kingdom of God, came and courageously went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was amazed that he was already dead. He summoned the centurion and asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned of it from the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Having bought a linen cloth, he took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, watched where he was laid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, this man was the Son of God. It is great to see in this beautiful weather of Michigan when people are getting ready for summer. Yes, here is snow white. So that is the way our readings are today. Gospel, especially the Passion reading, is reminding us it is the natural way when we are acclaiming Christ is our King, entering with our parade, entering, acclaiming He is our King. He has the triumph and He has the victory. And at the same time, again, the other side, we see that He has all those unjust suffering. And people are shouting at Him, crucify Him, crucify Him. But eventually, there was a pagan centurion who was able to say, truly this man was the Son of God. And that is what we ponder. The church celebrates today in the whole world the Palm Sunday. And a beautiful liturgical time for us, the highest time of the liturgical calendar for the Catholics all over the world. So there are many places who would be taking the big procession outside, blocking the road. And like the place where I come from, there is a big group. Always they will block and acclaim Christ is the King. And be reminding the people who do not know about Christ, those Hindus and Muslims and other different groups are there. So the Christians and Catholics, we are very few, but even then, they will take the big palm branches, very tall, tall palm branches, very big. So they will walk and parade on the roadside so that everybody will know that something is special happening. Something is happening, and they are able to celebrate, acclaim the King of Israel is our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. But at the same time, the Passion reading reminds us why it is called Passion, that now He enters into very serious thing, and that is one side is the glory and one side is the suffering. So the liturgy combines contrasting these moments always, the royal welcome given to Jesus by His followers and the other side, unjust drama of trial and culminating in His crucifixion. So this Holy Week is a time to ponder in a special way as we have prepared during this Lenten season with our preparation, penance, almsgiving, prayers. So Holy Week challenges us to remember that we relive the events which brought about our redemption available and the salvation be achieved by our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, to appreciate gratefully the price Jesus paid for our salvation. So what a holy time, what a beautiful time to return God's love for us, expressed through the suffering and death of our Lord. By loving others, and the meditation on these Paschal mysteries should enable us to do our own dying of our sins and rising with Jesus in His resurrection, which will result in our healing and reconciliation and redemption.
So that is the proper participation of the Holy Week liturgy, as we are deepening the mysteries to be revealed in our own lives as disciples of Christ. So yes, let us be grateful that God has given this holy season for us to enter in the mystery of salvation. And thank you for long standing for readings. Yes, and I was able to see the little ones also were able to stand for long. And some elderly people also were able to stand for long. So that is good that we are doing. For the glory of God, the penance is what we have, we can do. And yes, that was a beautiful reading for the passion we have. And Jesus is entering in the holy city. His mission is cleansing of the temple with the demand that it should be restored as the house of prayer for all people. So he is going to establish a kingdom, and he is going to clean the temple. He is going to clean the whole area. Therefore, there would be clash between the ruling class and those Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees who were the rulers at the time will fight against that. And that is the cleaning happening for those people who were unjust. So in his account of the passion, the gospel writer Mark is portraying the anguish that Jesus has to take, totally abandoned by his friends and relatives. So the Mark's Jesus is resigned to his fate. He makes no response to Judas when he betrays him. The Pilate during his interrogation, Peter, when he denies many times, his other apostles ran away. He does throughout the gospel. People are against him. Mark pointedly portrays the utter failure of the disciples to provide any assistance or any support for our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, or to even understand what is happening. Everybody ran away. The last disciple, we may notice, who flees naked into the night when Jesus is arrested, is a powerful symbol of Mark's gospel of the disciples who left family and friends behind to follow Jesus. Now they have to leave everything behind to get away from him. And that is our fallen human nature of each and every faithful. We can characterize with all the characters here, Judas, Pilate, Peter, crowd, apostles. And there are many people who are participating in this drama, and each and every one of us can be characterized that way. Some of us can be acting like that. Some of us can be the victim. And Jesus is looking with merciful heart. As the first reading from the book of Isaiah, is the second part of Isaiah, is telling about the servant song. The suffering servant will redeem. He will come to redeem its people, the people of Israel. And that's why he's entering into the mystery of suffering. So suffering has the purpose. It is not useless. It has a meaning. And it has the mission. So any suffering that we go through is certainly hard time, but it has meaning. So Jesus would be ridiculed and abused by those who are threatened by his teaching. And that is prophet Isaiah is prophesying so early about the suffering servant, that he has to suffer to redeem the mankind. And that is what we see. That's why Jesus has to go through those pains and sufferings. So in his letter to the Christians, the community of Philippi, St. Paul is writing for them, and the scholars are believing as early Christians' hymns telling us that Christ totally and unselfishly did not have equality with God the Father, but he emptied himself and accepted the mission of crucifixion for the sake of mankind, so that he can reconcile the whole world and the whole creation. So he empties himself, kenosis. He lowers himself in humble humility to come down and accept the humanity and suffer for them to redeem the whole world. So that is what we are entering the Passion. This Holy Week, we will have wonderful celebration today. From today onwards, and we have Thursday, the bishop will celebrate the Mass for all the priests in the Diocese of Lansing in the cathedral, and there would be a youth group coming for the Mass of Chrism On Thursday early morning, and some of those who are going to participate is the OCI members who are becoming first-time Catholics. They will participate. The priests will take their vows, and the holy oils will be blessed so that the church would be always. We have the holy oils over here, and that is being consecrated or, yes, prayed over by the bishop and the priest, and will be taken to each parishes to anoint the people and receive the sacraments that we receive. So it is a wonderful time, this Holy Week. Thursday, we have the evening mass here, and one mass only we celebrate, that is on Thursday, Holy Thursday, institution of the Eucharist happens, and also the institution of the priesthood takes place. So that is the mystery, that how God wants to serve his people. So through the Eucharist and through the washing of the feet of the disciples, go and do likewise. That is what we remember. So in memory that we celebrate, there is one mass, and then we are on Good Friday able to enter that history of redemption, the painful history of Good Friday, that Jesus is hung on the cross. He is shedding his blood for the mankind. And then it continues, the mass continues. One mass, so on Friday we do not have mass or anything, but we continue to be nourished and nurtured. We have the adoration on Thursday evening here for the Blessed Sacrament, which is the very body and blood of Christ. We come to adore him. We worship him. We pray in anguish. We pray in suffering for ourselves, for the redemption of our lives. And that is what we experience. So this Thursday, Friday, and then we have the Easter Vigil, that we come to celebrate the Easter Vigil, only lasts for 3 hours. So please do come. Only lasts for 3 hours. Are you happy?
Yes.
So please do come. But that is the history of salvation, that we remember the how God has his plan to redeem the mankind. So all 7 readings are there for us. All the Old Testament, how God has his plan to save the mankind. So all history, he has a plan to redeem the people. And then we enter into the New Testament, and that is our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, where he seals with his blood, and he is able to redeem whole mankind. And that is what we are entering into, the mystery of salvation. So again, let us prayerfully continue to honor Holy Week and continue to participate. The gospel is calling and inviting us that we will also enter into the mystery of salvation. The value system is turned upside down, and yes, it is God's power. The authority is found in him, that he is the creator. He is the king. He has the victory. So when we go through pains and suffering, we take up our own crosses, deny ourselves, and obey him and walk, taking our own crosses. So these crosses are opportunities for us for our own redemption. So let us take our own little crosses each and every day and continue to be transformed by his grace. May God bless you.